services, Lavazzi at boom1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 241. Some decisions are too important not to make on your own. And that's, I'm Adam, by the way, and here's Debbie.
What's wrong with my yo-yo?
Kirby.
Who made you the boss?
And Mary.
One small thing for a thing, one large thing for a thingy thing.
And why has everybody gone all funny?
It's one enormous thing for a thingy thing.
Ah, so much for history.
Yeah, so much for the internet. Your audios have gone a bit funny, but I'm going to have to...
Yeah,
that was my other quote.
What, the audios have gone a bit funny?
Yeah.
You've suddenly gone down a tunnel, Kirby.
Yeah.
And so have you,
and
Mary.
And so have you, Mary.
No, you've gone
really?
Down.
Mm.
How strange.
How odd. Well, I'm sure it'll
I'll turn off...
Turn off iPlayer.
Might be the weather that's doing this, you know.
What's wrong with the weather?
It's chucking it down. Right.
You got tides coming over?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably that. Right then, so let's start with this thing here.
Yeah, the moon's
It starts with a moon. I've got my mic. I'm looking over that way.
The moon is a space station.
The moon, actually. And then it's like they've done the whole of this series, had a sort of bit of a clip that happens later on or we don't ever get to see. Which is sort of...
Of a very annoyed Clara having to do something for herself.
A bit grumpy, isn't she?
Mm. And Courtney.
Courtney.
I love Courtney.
Courtney's brilliant. I'm bored, miss.
She's
actually quite a good actress.
One nice thing about this was the family found out how old Courtney was, and she's referred to as being in 15. Grade 10.
Mm. Yeah, she's 15.
Which matches the grade 10, because no one told me that you guys used Hogwarts grades.
Yeah. Doesn't he mean year 10?
Yeah,
grade
10.
Hogwarts is a British institution as much as Doctor Who is.
Yeah.
Yes, and you're still down the tunnel.
So are you.
Never mind.
No, I'm not.
I like this bit about the psychic paper. What's she doing? Going into museums?
Do you know who she looks like to me in the face?
Who?
Beth Tweddle. She has got the same sort of bone structure and facial sort of makeup as Beth Tweddle. She's a gymnast, by the way.
Yes, I was going to say, no, I was just having a look. Yes, the sort of the jaw,
the
teeth.
Sort of,
yeah.
You know, that sort of,
she's
yeah,
a British...
And the nose and everything.
British, I was going to say acrobat, gymnast.
Gymnast. Olympic gymnast.
Olympic gymnast, mm. Yeah.
Hitting the door quite hard.
I like the fact that the doctor refers to the little acupressure thing for motion sickness as vortex manipulators.
Have you got your vortex manipulators?
So they decommissioned and then obviously in this instance recommissioned space shuttle, mm-hmm. which they happen to be on.
Which is too big, particularly.
No, there we go.
It is too big. Yeah.
I can't. If this is 2049, they don't have enough time. I doubt that they. It's. Let me put it this way: it was put in the museum and the top cut off in 2039. I doubt they made one that big anyway. Plus, you can't land it that way. It needs an atmosphere.
Yes, it does. Are you being pedantic for a change?
Has the moon now got gravity?
Well, it might have some sort of gravity thingy majigs that help allow it to land that way. Because it did refer to gravity on there, don't know. What they call not fake gravity, artificial gravity.
Artificial
on the
gravity,
moon itself.
Yeah.
So they may have used a similar thing.
Yeah, because that's what the yo-yo trick is about. He's testing to see why they're not just...
So they may have used
around.
A similar thing to help the space shuttle land in that way.
Well... Master, the moon has gravity. It just has
no,
one.
No, I'm talking about the
gravity.
Spaceship. They might have had a.
Oh,
if they got anti-gravity technology on the moon, they might have had used that technology.
No, the yo, master. The yo-yo thing is after they land.
What? We're not talking about that. Yeah. We're talking about the landing itself. But the fact they got the yo-yo thing and the fact that at one point Courtney flies or starts floating because the anti-gravity fails.
Yeah, because
No, that was explained, that was because of the shifting around of the creature in the moon. Mm-hmm. That's why she floated. I can find the exact quote if you wish me to.
No,
but that's he's not, right. He is right.
No, I don't want the exact quote. That'll do nicely. However,
well, I know they explained it, but it still didn't make sense to me. Just because it shifted, that it would suddenly cause that.
No, it didn't make sense to me either.
Okay.
But, as far as these weird, if I'm going to make some pedantic science comments, it doesn't bother me in the slightest for this story.
Well, good. Can we get on then? No? Yes?
Right.
I said, well, good. Can we get on then? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do a Skype reboot. So let's see if that cures your audio. So bye.
Good Lord.
And Debbie will now keep the show going in the interim while I do a Skype reboot. I don't know. I've never done that before.
Well, we'll give it a try. See if we can't get the volume going. Meanwhile,
I've paused the.
Yes, and a very nice inside view
of the airlock
on the shuttle.
Particularly nice airlock, isn't it, Debbie?
I did think though that when it's crash landing, the graphics weren't that hot for something that's actually an existing thing to have. Maybe superimposed rather than...
No, I didn't think it was... You could see it wasn't real, but I didn't think it was that bad. I mean, did you watch the extra?
Yeah.
This is the first of the extras I've actually watched, and it was quite interesting that all it actually was the door and its surrounding. Mm. But clearly it's superimposed, but I think it's all right.
Okay. Just being pedantic. Kirby's not here right now.
He is there, but he just hasn't... let's hope this works. Right then, so...
Kirby.
Yes. Oh no. And and if it doesn't work, we're carrying on anyway because I haven't got time to faff around.
Hello.
What?
That's better.
Am I?
Yay.
Okay.
What?
That's
am
better.
I? Okay. Right.
Mary, how are you coming in?
She's not in yet.
She's not there.
Oh, she is now.
Is she there?
Yep. I'm here now.
Yay, everybody's better.
There
right.
we go. Well, yes. Has Adam started recording? Because that's when everything went strange, was when he started recording.
That's a coincidence, because I'm recording on a different device. Yeah. No, what actually happened was, I think it's to do because I looked for my quote on iPad.
Yes, yeah.
So that's when it actually started. So I've only got...
Oh, okay.
At the moment.
Master, are we still recording?
Yeah.
Are we recording now?
It's a live
okay, the quote... The subtitles, when right after Courtney has landed and the doctor has pronounced that the spider things are germs, the doctor says, you flew because that 1.3 billion tons shifted. It moved. And that's the only explanation we have for why they decided to fly the actress into the air. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't bother me.
Okay, fair
either
enough.
Way, can we get on then? Right.
So, yes, that's part of getting on.
As far as the well, you jumped ahead quite considerably.
You brought it up.
So the fact that
Mary's having her breakfast.
Handed on the moon.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Courtney and Clara and the Doctor all dressed in Tenant spacesuit outfits.
I love the fact she's got her phone in her outer pocket. I love that.
Yeah.
Step out onto the moon, yes.
Well, yes. Yeah, that's an interesting point, that she has her phone in the outer pocket. How do they know that it's vacuum safe? It would probably, some of those capacitors and stuff would probably explode.
Yeah, but then they wouldn't
anyway.
Get the Tumblr joke in, would they?
God's sake.
Right, anyway.
If you don't bother that much, you wouldn't have mentioned it.
And Kirby, stop being pedantic about things you don't care about.
I hadn't noticed the thing about where she kept the phone. What I did notice was that even though during what was the episode Listen, we had the spacesuit, which was clearly from the
Waters of Mars.
Yeah, was it Waters of Mars?
Well, initially, it was
Waters of Mars. Yeah, but these are not. These spacesuits don't have all the identifying patches.
The one where you met the devil. Wearing that the first time.
Yeah,
Satan Pit. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That was the first one.
Well, right. I will say, in the extra, Capaldi does say Satan Tenant's, Tenant's suit.
Spacesuit, yes.
Yes. This is the thing is that they clearly had the patches on there earlier this series, and now they don't have the patches on. So I'm thinking the patches are important.
Unless this took place before that.
Mm. Yeah, thank you, Magic.
Magic agrees.
Anyway, moving on. They stepped out onto the moon. Now, this stuff, that obviously is Lanzarote, and that does look really superb. Do you remember there was a theory that all the moon landings were fake? And
I reckon if they were fake,
this is where they would have filmed them.
No, there was a hypothesis that all the moon landings were fake.
A hypothesis.
I like all the films that have that sort of in the background, you know, like on James Bond. What's the one? Is it not Goldfinger?
Moonraker?
No, Diamonds Are Forever.
All right.
He's on a set where they're doing the moon landing.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll tell you how superb does it look, though. It just looks amazing. And of course,
I kept looking for little bushes or trees or whatever, because there are plants. There are plants on Lanzarote.
Exactly. Yeah,
thank you, Kirby. Right. But obviously, we meet an old classic Doctor Who actor in the shape of
Doctor Who's space station thing. A planet.
It did remind me a little bit of
Home, or whatever they're called.
The one with the sidemen on the moon, with Patrick Troughton called? Moon Base, is it? Something like that.
That would be the moon base.
It reminded me a little bit of that.
What was that?
Growling!
It's also on the Satan pit as well. They use that one for being on that little planet that shouldn't be there.
So anyway, it's a bit spooky.
Yeah, we have Tony Asoba.
Yeah, super
in, isn't he? We've seen in however many... He's been on the show three times now?
Yes, this is third. Obviously, he did...
Destiny of the Daleks, where he was one of the Movellans. Dragonfire, yes.
But it's great, isn't it, to see him on there. He's
really cool, good. Yeah.
Completely different type of character than he's played in the previous two times. He used to be in Porridge as well, Debbie.
Yes, yeah.
Very spooky with all these spiders webs, are they? Webs, we'll call them. And,
of course,
Courtney screams when she sees the dead body. This is obviously the Mexican little quarter of the space station, the moon base, what we call it. Mm-hmm. It's all very atmospheric and spooky.
I was on the edge of my seat for early part of this episode, yeah.
And this character, what's her name? The grumpy...
Lundvik.
When I say the name blank in the quiz, mm-hmm. I'm referring to her. Okay, I'm just telling that now because I never picked up what her name was.
Lundvik.
Yes. Grumpy. We'll call her Grumpy for the sake of yes.
I had to run the credits at the end very slowly to get her name because I never got it during the course of the. Of the scene itself.
She was just referred to as Captain almost all the time.
Shall I call her the actress's name?
Is the internet broken for you? Are you not capable of bringing up Wikipedia?
I'm not touching anything since your voices went a bit funny, so I'm leaving.
We're not touching anything.
Debbie's using the only available bandwidth.
I'm asking Mary. She couldn't look it up on Wikipedia.
No.
The other two astronauts are there to be killed, aren't they? Yes, I'm just carrying on with it. Yes.
One's sorting the lights out and one's going off to get the nukes.
No, to get attacked by a sort of spidery sort of...
Oh, that was creepy. Shaster. You could hear it going...
Yes,
Herbie. The mandibles going off.
When Stephen Moffat was briefing Peter Harness on writing the script, he told him to Hinchcliffe the out of it. For the first half.
Oh, you've got to put a bleep in now. For God's sake, this is supposed to be a live show. God's sake, Kirby, right, you're grounded. Point deduction for that.
Are you going to bleep it when they go on and on about this using bloody?
Bloody is not a swear word.
It was.
It was in this particular story.
It hasn't been on this podcast for a long time. But what you said is.
I was surprised.
Did you?
Yeah.
Right.
I just got one in as well. Too.
Mary, keep it quiet. You're already a point ahead in the quiz.
I was surprised that the doctor was so sensitive to bloody.
Yes.
Yes, because it was
a really big swear.
I think in reference to the fact that bloody is hardly ever used in Doctor Who, I think, and that's why he's saying language. Obviously, because it's now on at 8:30 in the evening, they're making use of it.
Yeah, they really are.
But it's not that much of a swear word, for goodness sake.
Didn't someone say arse a couple of weeks ago? And got
It did remind me of how First Doctor he is.
Mm. Yes. Stop yeah. it. I'm the professor grandfather figure. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Set in my ways.
Grumpy.
Oh, that is creepy. When
there's a point in which during this one of these scenes where it came out and Isabella went, she literally jumped up and screamed. And
that's I nearly ran out of the room when that first happened.
I found all of this very scary.
No,
I didn't
horrible.
Find it that scary, but she jumped up and screamed. That's the first time I've ever known that to happen during Doctor Who.
A Doctor Who scream. Excellent. They're going to go down.
She didn't go really behind the sofa.
It was a real one as well. No, well, she couldn't.
Okay? You can't hear. No, you can get behind mine.
She just jumped up. And then I'm going to go on my iPod.
Yeah, I was, I think that they released that particular scene on the internet ahead of time just so people would be prepared for it.
Well, she wasn't.
Oh, that's horrific.
Well, I didn't see it.
No, I hadn't had any pre-warning of, I knew it was spiders, but it didn't make me jump, but it creeped me out.
No, I didn't do that either.
I can't stand it. We've had a big invasion of huge spiders at the moment in our house, and it's not fair.
Well, you've got cats. Cats normally dispose of spiders.
No, they sit there looking at them going, I can't get that in my mouth.
Mine do too. They just watch them run across the floor.
It's like, yeah, thanks, guys. I've got three cats and they're all sat there watching it.
Oh, well, distinctive memories of one of my mum's Burmese cats walking around with what I thought initially was a set of extra whiskers. When what it was actually it had the spider's body in its mouth and its legs were sort of... And it went spatter out as if it was a gift.
There you go. Nice.
The spider was there going...
But I like the fact that going back to the whole spacesuit thing, that they're all wearing the red ones, so they've sort of become TARDIS issue rather than just what they picked up.
Yeah.
That's a nice way to tell who's who.
Yeah, apart from... Yeah, that's right.
Thinking
about Danny, wearing the older, not Danny, the...
Oscar.
Oscar?
I don't know, idea.
No.
Osmond.
There we go. Yes, Kirby.
I don't know. I'm going to have to look it up.
Oswald.
You don't have to. Oswald, was it?
No, I've no idea.
Might have been.
I don't think it was, because I think we all wanted to say it was Oswald, but it wasn't. Yeah. She's turning on the beams.
Yeah, she's turning on the bombs, and Courtney got sort of grounded to the TARDIS. Because she said she was scared and wanted to go home, and the doctor wasn't ready to go just yet.
I like the fact she turns around and says, I want to help, bring me back. Yeah. That's really cool.
And then the doctor says, there's some DVDs on the blue shelf.
put one in and you'll come to me. Thought that was quite a nifty way of bringing the TARDIS back.
Yeah, I think they portrayed a 15-year-old very accurately. You know, one minute she's scared and wants to, you know, go home, and then next minute it's like, no, I want to help.
I've remembered the bit that made Isabella scream. You know the bit where you see the sort of spider's mouth, a bit like alien?
Oh, yeah.
Her scream. That's not on that bit, but I think it was an earlier bit where you get a real close-up of the spider's mouth. Up she jumped.
I don't like it when they just light the torch in there and there's just loads of them. It's like, oh, no. This is not
going
to end well.
No, it's great.
All those glowing eyes made
me proud when that happened, you know.
Yeah, what, when she was
proud of
Doctor
Who when she jumped up and screamed.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, but I tell you what, they've done so well with this moon surface. I know that they often film moon surfaces in Lanzarote, but obviously they had to do an effect to it to make it look more grey and whatever, but it looks really, really good.
At least it's not in some quarry.
Well, I wouldn't have worked with them. I'm sure they have done moon services and quarries in the past and didn't quite come off. Of course, the doctor seems to be using the sonic screwdriver to create 3D monitors. Scanners, doesn't he?
Scanners, quite a lot in the series.
Oh, here we go. Yes.
Moffat in the extra says that they considered a Welsh quarry, but they thought that Lanzarote would be just so much better.
Absolutely, you can understand why, can't you? But I like the fact that they've gone to Lanzarote and they haven't sort of made a point in the fact that it's Lanzarote. They just, you know, whereas obviously Planet of Fire, I think they doubled up. It was the planet and it was Lanzarote or something like that in the show.
Well,
when they
leaked a false title for this particular story.
They did.
The working title was Return to Sarn, which was to make us all go, oh, they're going back to...
Yeah.
Particularly since when that leaked, we'd already seen a true return to Sarn.
Yeah, I mean, so back to the story, though. There was when the Doctor sort of explains that the moon is, in fact, an egg, that whole scene is...
That's just really so good. And also when you see it all folded up inside the moon, you're like, that's going to be beautiful.
And he's just always says that it's something new. And then he says it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
That was great. That was really good.
When he says it's an egg, he's like a five-year-old that is getting up. He's so excited.
The Doctor's often like that, doesn't he? Like when the werewolf one went with
Master. Going back to when they were in and they found one of the Mexicans dead, and the Doctor brings the body down from the wall, and he goes, he's wondering how you're put together or maybe how you tasted.
Yeah.
And then he pulls the body down and said, and a couple of beats later, he says, chicken.
But yeah, it's brilliant.
I love that.
But when that came up, I thought, oh, great, that's so original to think of the fact that the moon might be an egg. But annoyed me in another way that a Doctor Who story I was considering writing was that the Doctor lands on a planet which has got all this seismic activity and stuff, and they don't realise that the planet is in fact an alien. So I don't know if I actually voiced that before this came out, and I'll try and claim a bit of copyright on it.
A lot of people were complaining about the whole egg thing, not realizing that a classic Jack Williamson story from 1934 had the moon as an egg. Had all the planets as eggs.
Which was, I think,
one of the reasons this didn't bother me, because I'd run across it before.
It wouldn't have bothered me either way. It was original. Yeah.
It apparently bothered a lot of people.
Did it? Oh, okay. Anyway, so the Doctor is becoming all teacherish, which is quite interesting, because he's allowing the humans to make the decision for themselves in regards to whether to kill. Because when he says it's an egg, that's that great line from, we'll call her Hermione, and she says, how do we kill it?
I like the fact this was originally written for Matt Smith.
What was it?
But I'm not sure how he would have carried it off so well, because I think Capaldi nailed it. Absolutely nailed the Doctor in this one, but I'm not too sure if it would have been lighter or I'm not sure, more shocking if it had been Matt Smith's hands, this one.
I've noticed a difference in how Matt Smith versus Capaldi delivers bad information. Because the Matt Smith Doctor, he would talk all upbeat and positive, and then he would say very quietly and kind of in a rush things that he knew other people didn't want to hear. He would almost mumble them to himself. Whereas Capaldi's Doctor, he just announces these things very frankly, you know, the unfortunate and the scary and, you know, the negative potential. He just says them, you know, and that's what makes him look so harsh.
Yeah.
And of course, Hermione calls the Doctor a prat, which I thought was quite funny.
He's a prat. Humankind has to make its own choices.
Yeah.
Just because he's there isn't just an easy get-out clause. If
she's Hermione, can we call the others Ron and Harry?
Ron and Harry, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, one of them is close. One of them is Henry.
Right.
What?
Keeping myself together.
Why?
I absolutely respect the Doctor's refusal to decide, because his thing about it's not my Earth, it's not my moon, you know, I thought, wow, that's really good that he's not deciding for them.
Pointed it out as well, you know, he said, I walk in eternity, I don't, this isn't my home. And every now and then you have to underline it for the viewers as well, that, yeah, he hangs out a lot on Earth because it's easier on prosthetics. But, you know, it isn't his home.
Well, the doctor knew all the time from the very beginning of this what was going to happen.
Indicating the manipulative Doctor.
You would have thought Clara would have actually seen that, having professed to know him for so long.
Clara's confused.
She hasn't seen this particular part of the Doctor. This is future for her from when all that happened.
No, but she's been farther in the future.
Oh, yeah.
It's the thing.
So anyway,
the moon was there. At least I thought it was.
Yeah.
Well, it is. Mm-hmm. It is there. It's the egg.
Yes, the new egg. Is there. Yeah.
Clara.
It's a new moon.
Broadcasts to Earth.
The only thing about turn your lights on if you want it to live. Yeah, turn your lights
which
off
is a good thing. But
the only problem is
that whole nation's lights went off all at the same time. I know they couldn't.
Large.
They just shut the power off, didn't they? What about the people off-grid who haven't seen the news?
Yeah, well, they probably only have candles, so you wouldn't be able to see any light in space anyway. Yeah.
I'm thinking there must have been so few people that wanted it to live, we just couldn't see their lights.
Around the other side of the planet where it was day.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. They were frantically flashing their lights. Great, let it live!
How do we tell them?
Phoning the people over the other side. Damn it, there's any lights on.
Master. Since Courtney was president at the time anyway, she should have known and she could have prevented it, or she told them to turn the lights out because it had already happened and she'd seen it. Now she is president of the U.S.
Okay, yes, right. So
I wonder how she got to be president of the U.S.
I'm sure we'll find out.
We must have amended the Constitution.
They mentioned Blinovich as well.
Yeah, but she could become an American citizen. I'm sure people that aren't born Americans become American citizens.
No, well,
Constitution that you can't be president if you're not a natural-born citizen.
I tell you what, though. What if her British parents had a trip to America, gave birth to her, and then came back to the UK?
True.
So she might have a
dual citizenship.
My girls can't become president because they were born in China.
That's not fair.
But do they have?
I know.
Do they have dual citizenship?
Not dual. They're American citizens.
They're Americans, but they can't. Oh, okay, fair enough.
They should change the constitution.
That's not that fair. No,
in a cosmopolitan nation like the United States, they should change the constitution because I think that's just a bit dated, that particular thing, don't you think?
Don't.
Yeah, I think they need to slightly just amend that little bit because
amendment.
Yes, make it more PC and more now.
There was a huge controversy over Barack Obama becoming president they weren't sure that he was born in the U.S.
And
was he born in Hawaii?
Yeah, Hawaii is the U.S.
Hawaii is
the
U.S.
There you go then. Yeah. So anyway, it's a lovely scene of when you see
the egg hatching. That's amazing.
Love it. Although how it would fly when there's no atmosphere, obviously.
Solar sails wings type things.
Tom and I spent
most of yesterday evening working out how it flew in space.
Oh, I like that idea. Yes.
How does the space whale move through?
Yeah.
That doesn't bother me. That's the slightest.
Okay, right. Solar winds. I get a lot of those.
Solar waves.
I don't think...
I like the fact when the moon is gone, the waves are all still. I know there's a few minutes delay and everything, but it doesn't pause.
Yeah, the waves are still going. Yeah,
I thought the
water would go perfectly still, but
that's why
didn't.
I thought they deliberately landed on a beach. I thought they deliberately landed there so they could show it was still for a moment, and then it starts again because the new egg's there. But no, it didn't bother turning.
There would be a delay.
Yes, but there would have been some sort of a ripple effect across the Earth, and then it would have started up again. You know, and I thought that's why they did this shot. You know, but I think they just wanted to show they were in a really nice.
The fact that the moon was there with the little creature coming out of it. And they were saying that all the tides were all over the place and they go to a beach where the tides were normal.
I expected that was the Isle of Wight in the water. That's the only bit, that's one of the downs now that is now in June. Yeah, it's the only bit that's left.
Yeah. So anyway, she doesn't smile, but she does say thank you to Clara. Well, a sort of half smile.
A wry. Yeah.
And we go back to this blackboard that Doctor's got all these calculations on. Which
I think it's his diary.
Is it?
I don't know. Just every time he finishes a mission like thing, it's like, dear diary, today I went off and he's got all the calculations
that has appeared
trying to go home.
Occasionally throughout the series.
But,
and then Clara becomes totally unreasonable and
has a right go in, and he calls her bluff and she leaves. There you go.
Yeah.
As Jeff Waddle pointed out, she may be pregnant. And this is moodiness.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a possibility.
Yeah, she's talked about wanting to be a mother, isn't she?
Yeah, that's come up a lot in her mooning over Danny.
Well, I don't think she's being unreasonable at all. I mean, when you've traveled with a doctor that much, and you've come to rely on everything that he thinks and does and says, and then all of a sudden he turns the tables and, you know, nope, it's up to you this time.
Yeah.
That in the middle of a crisis moment, yeah, that would freak me out too. And so I was totally with her.
He could have afforded a second to pat her on the back and go, "You'll be fine.
Yeah,
I'll be
fine
in a minute." Uh-huh. Yeah, he could have just said, "This is your job, but I'm behind you all the way."
Yeah, but I did feel sorry for the doctor at the end of that, not for her. I mean, I understand why, but I just thought the fact that she's travelled with him so long and understands that he's. You know, she must understand what he's like, that she would have not got so cross as to say, go away, don't come back. Because the thing I like about the fact she said that, and everybody knows that the Earth needs the doctor and they'll get into a crisis where the only way they can get out of it is the doctor.
Phone
and
call.
She's told the doctor to go away.
And go away, go
that
long
may
way.
Happen somewhere along the line.
Yes, we're not done yet. We go off and have this adventure on yet another space travelling...
Yeah, it doesn't look like he's anywhere near Earth for this next one.
I thought enlightenment when I saw that.
Well, I found it, the trailer for the next one. I just sort of sat there and told him, "What's the matter?" And I went, "I'm hoping I'm not going to be severely disappointed with yet another."
Yeah, but everybody thought they were going to be severely disappointed with this one, and everybody thought they were going to be severely disappointed.
No, I was looking forward to this one.
Yeah, the only ones that have severely disappointed me are the ones that were supposed to be the great ones.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, all right. So the last shot is of a massive moon, bigger than all the houses in the background.
But it's
called a telephoto lens. Being a photographer, you should know this.
Stop it. Calm down.
Right. So I'll go first. Absolutely brilliant story. I'm not quite sure it wasn't the best of the series so far, to be honest with you. I'd say it's my favourite of the series so far. Obviously, Listen was very good, but I think I enjoyed this far more as a Doctor Who experience than I did Listen. I think this was pure Doctor Who. There was none of the. I know there's people saying about the science aspects of that. Doesn't bother me because it's Doctor Who, and I can't think of anything wrong with it really. I mean, I'd say about the bit at the end with Clara's mood. That's just Clara's character. She's decided to go off down that way. It fits into the story, okay. It was beautiful. A lovely small cast, which I quite like sometimes. It's very intimate when it's a small cast like that. All in all, utter brilliance. Debbie?
Yeah, I totally agree. It's my favourite one so far. I wasn't expecting it to be, but I was looking forward to it, but I wasn't really expecting to be sat there just being scared, as I haven't been done by Doctor Who since The Weeping Angels.
Beg your pardon? You haven't been done by Doctor Who?
Oh, shut up. As I was saying, I haven't been that scared for a very long time.
Oh, I see.
Okay, fair enough. No, and I just found, as you say, the small cast, I found I was much more involved. I felt we were part of that discussion about should it live, shouldn't it live? Because everybody, I think, was turning to each other and going, well, what would you do? And it got everybody thinking about humanity and choices. And I just found it was just brilliantly done, brilliantly acted. And I love the fact, the references, the way the Doctor basically harked back to the Fourth Doctor quite a lot in this one. Especially the yo-yo. The yo-yo was very similar. I actually went back and looked through. And the yo-yo is almost exactly the same. And just... It was just good because
when I say run, run.
Run, yeah.
Who made you the boss? Well, you say it then.
Okay.
No, you say.
I just like the fact that this episode told people who probably don't know that the Doctor isn't a human, isn't responsible for us in any way, shape or form, but he chooses to because he cares. And this time he just went, no, it's your choice. And it probably shocked quite a lot of people, but... No, that's how I just was really happy with it. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, well said, Deb. Well said.
Kirby.
What else can I say?
Mary.
One of the best Doctor Who stories ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
And it just did not... And I wasn't bothered by the science stuff. Exactly. And I'm... You know how I am. I can get bothered by...
If the story is that good, things like that do not matter. It's all about the story.
You can dissect it later to your heart's content.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
And when I looked at who'd written it and it didn't have Stephen Moffat in the title, that made me quite
happy as well. First time.
So far, that I've loved practically every story. I didn't like Into the Dalek or Time Heist. Yeah. Other than that, we've had fantastic stories this entire series.
Excellent. Mary.
Well, this is my favorite of the series so far. So that's
really?
Four in a row.
Four in a row.
Of good
shocked.
Stories for me. And I was, as I said earlier, I noted how the same lines could be delivered by the 11th Doctor or the 12th, but they are delivered in such different ways. As I said, the Matt Smith Doctor tended to say the positive things out loud and the negative things almost under his breath so that he wouldn't scare anybody. Whereas the 12th Doctor, if we want to call him the 12th, he just states them out there, which is what contributes to him seeming so harsh and rude and all that, because he's stating the things nobody really wants to hear. And I really like stories that make me look at something differently. And so now I'm never going to look at the moon the same. I'm always going to be wondering. just like Clara at the end of the episode, you know, it's like, yeah, that's a nice parting shot. Cause yes, I will look at the moon differently from now on. And I really respected that the doctor wasn't going to decide for humanity, you know, what was best for their Earth or their moon. I just think he could have done it, as we said, in a little kinder way towards Clara instead of hanging her out to dry like that, with no support. And up until the point when Courtney kills that spider with the disinfectant spray.
It's 99.9% of germs.
I like that bit.
It was a cute bit. But up until then, I mean, I was terrified of those spiders. That was so exciting. I was on the edge of my seat with all this stuff with the spiders. But once she did that, and then the doctor looks at this creature that is a well-articulated, web-spinning, everything about it is spider, but then he declares it a single-cell, non-chromosome, non-DNA germ. And then that really threw me. And from there on, it's like, oh, my gosh, that is so wrong.
Yes.
all the other dodgy science I didn't care about, but that really stuck out as, you know, that really can't possibly be.
You sound like a nurse or something.
So I'm just laughing because Debbie just dropped her iPad on the floor. It bounced.
Yeah, and I totally support Clara when she lets him have it at near the end, because it was the wrong time and the wrong way to make her make that decision. I think she did very well. But I was with her when she told him off and said that she didn't want to be around him anymore. Because we know from the previous stories that he's left her in very bad situations many times. So, if I were her, I'd probably be done with him too.
Hey! Right, so that's good then. Let's move on to some feedback and see what everybody else thinks. What do you think? Nope? Okay, we're going to get it anyway. It doesn't matter what you lot think. But it does, really. Who are you talking to? What? Right, we're going to go for further feedback. Let's see how loud it is this week.
Is this for the caretaker?
Probably.
Well, good evening, 20 megabyters. Andy Lunny here. It's 8:37 on Monday night, and no glass of wine. It's Monday, so obviously it's a working week, so drink for me till Friday night.
Oh, wow.
Yes, you don't have to sound quite so amazed. I'm not really that much of a drunk. Yes. However, I finally got around to watching The Caretaker while doing the ironing and putting some new elastic in my cycling shorts. It's this rock and roll lifestyle elite, you know. It's brilliant, isn't it? And I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's going back to something I've said a couple of times in the feedback on this series, this is a thinking doctor. Well, he's not the all-out action man because, you know, given the age of the Peter Capaldi, he can't do that anyway. But what you saw here was a story where the alien, which wasn't really up to much, was really a side story. It was just there to to make the story happen. But what you've got was the mental thing that he's doing with him and with Clara and with Danny and then with Courtney as well. And you saw him, how he's outthinking people, but not all the time, because Danny Pink at first really doesn't take to him, but then you realise that Danny, as a soldier, knows how he can be driven on, and how somebody like the Doctor, you know, he says he puts in mind some of the officers, will get more out of him than he thinks he can do, and he's doing that with Genoese Con, with Clara. Because Clara said, you know, I trust him. He said, you weren't afraid, you should be afraid. Well, I'm not, because the Doctor, he may put you in danger, but he won't put you recklessly into danger. He will do it because he knows there is a way out of it. And that's what he did when he gave Clara the sonic screwdriver, told him some, not Artron Energy, I can't think what it's called, but so, yeah, to go and distract the alien. And, but Danny was behind it all the way. Now, nice move when he did the high flip over the alien, and then the Doctor was able to countermand his orders. And again, that's showing the Doctor thinking. I know I'm going right to the end here as well, but the Doctor didn't destroy him. He actually persuaded him to switch himself off. And then they launched him out of space and said, go and enjoy a war. So that was good, that was. I think it was a really good piece. But I think the dynamic between... not quite four, because I don't think Courtney... I'm not sure how we're Courtney's going to go in here, but certainly you can see there's a bit of threesome. And we have got away from that boyfriend-girlfriend relationship that Matt Smith did have. And he is now the father figure. And I think that's what Danny Pink recognises, you know. I've got to prove I'm good enough for this woman, because if you don't... You know, he's going to have the dad some hell, you know. I guess, Adam, you know, you've got daughters, and Kirby, you have as well. I don't know about any of the others. I mean, I'm not being a father myself, I don't really know about this, but I've got sisters.
Hey, it must be a qualification.
But yeah, you know, he's been very protective, and it's, you know, if you mess around with my daughter, or in this case, you know, the sort of daughter figure, Danny Pink knows he's going to get what for, and okay, and the fact that these guys, you know, the old guy, Yeah, he knows that and he respects it. But there's a mutual respect there as well, because when Clara had to ask, you know, what do you mean, I know, what do you know? And they both understood it. You know, it's a man thing. I think Adam, yeah, and Kirby say, I think you'll both get this, won't you? The rest of the story, you've got some good side characters, because you've got the Courtney's parents. You've got the other teachers as well there. You've got the guy who was explaining who Danny was by being a soldier and a sergeant in Afghanistan. You've got a title there. So what you're doing is you're building a fuller picture. I'm doing hand signals again, which is no use at all on audio, to help develop these characters. And that's what's really happening in this story. It was a character development piece, but it did keep the story going. And that's why, you didn't need that monster coming in. You could have actually just had the girl in the background and being referred to, because it was more, you're getting more taken along the ride with what is the relationship between Clara and Danny, how is the Doctor going to take it, what's the relationship going to be with Danny and Clara and with the Doctor as well. You know, how is that dynamic going to work out? I think we're still going to see Clara being, her permanent home is going to be back on Earth, back in London somewhere, and she'll come and go with the Doctor. So I think Danny, well, yeah, I mean, goodness sake, you know, how do you cope with that? You know, the young girl goes off with old man, well, what's he going to think? But I think he understands it. And then, of course, we get Courtney, who is going to be a bit of comic relief, because she's obviously quite an intelligent girl, you know, disruptive elements. Yeah, I think we've all known women like that. Great podcast saboteur, spring to mind, anybody? But the way she, again, reacts with the Doctor, you know, who are you, what have you got in there, what's it really like in there, I think that's very well done as well. Classic bit at the end, where he actually takes her into space and says, look at this, look at that, look at the other, and then, oh dear, she's been space sick or time sick or something like that. So, don't know how we're going to go with Clara there as well. And then, of course, you get the Promised Land with the way that policeman died at the beginning, you know, rather graphic when he's gunned down and you saw a burnt hand there. You can see why this is now being broadcast 8:30. And, yeah, anyone who says this is kids' TV, sorry, look at that, that's not. That's family entertainment. I think that was very well filmed as well, because you didn't see him being destroyed, but you saw the hands, you knew what had happened. You didn't need to see it. It's almost a Hitchcockian thing of, you don't need to show the monster, you just show how people react to it and what the effects are, and leave the rest to your imagination, because that's really, best pictures are in the mind, aren't they? So all in all, yeah, I thought this was a really good story. I think it was well-paced as well. It didn't flag. I think, you know, a couple of times I thought, oh, it's going to drop, when suddenly it picks up again. But it's got you thinking and wondering what's going on. And then at the end, say, I've sort of gone slightly off topic there, but you've got Heaven, the Promised Land, the Netherworld, did he call it? I've only watched it once, and literally I've only just what, 20 minutes ago finished watching it, so I won't have a chance to watch it again before recording this. But certainly, I think we've had some five very good stories now so far. I think, you know, no real duffer. You know, there's been some that, yeah, I mean, like you know, Time Heist, I think, wasn't the best, wasn't the most popular. Next week, well, yeah, again, we've got, you know, we're going back to the orange spacesuit, so who knows what it'll be next week. And I'm trying to think when I'm going to see it next week. I might have a glass of wine in my hand. You never know. Anyway, be seeing you.
Yes, that's Andy Nunny, that's the audio who should have sent in last week. That's why he was talking about
Caretaker.
Did he send in one for this week?
Yes, he did. And also, he made a reference to the podcast Saboteur, which confused Debbie. That goes back a long time. So it shows how long Andy's been listening to the show, probably to our first year in which Alicia was known as the great podcast Saboteur.
Oh, right. Okay. And Debbie I did wonder if it was her.
Debbie was known as the greatest podcast Saboteur.
Yes, I still remember that podcast of her cleaning and...
This computer here, actually, says, where she threw something at it and broke the screen. And
she really doesn't like the podcast, does she?
Not really, not when it interferes with day-to-day life. Yes, Andy has sent in some more feedback. We'll probably save that to last, so we haven't got continuous Andy, but we have got this one, which you're going to read, Debbie, in your best Scottish accent.
No, I'm not going to do a Scottish accent. Well, I bloody loved it and can use swear words if they are now canon. Creepy, brilliant dialogue, looks breathtaking, moral dilemma, pretty much everything that makes a good Who story for me. Not the best, but certainly up there. As for a lot of comments about terrible science, my goodness, the 50 years contains terrible science nearly all the time, including an infinity of space inside a police box.
That's so Star Trek.
What a lot of nonsense. Here's a tip. It's a TV programme. If you can't believe in science, as portrayed on the show, go and watch repeats of Tomorrow's World and let us who are enjoying this season enjoy it. Best run of episodes by far for me, probably in the whole 50-odd years. I know others don't agree, and that's fine, but I'm not bothered. Thank you, Jeff.
That was Jeff Waddle.
I was not going to do a Scottish accent.
I feel let down.
Why?
Well, you of all people should be able to, as you're sort of now sort of technically
half
Scottish.
Can you do a Scottish accent?
Scottish, but no, I won't do it. Got too much of a southern accent.
Hello, 20 Minute Mac Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Supposed to have played his theme tune, but
Kill the Moon by Peter Harness.
Sorry, Ian.
Waters of Mars meets Space Cowboys. And you might enjoy this story because of the series.
Shall we do that again?
Yeah, let's start that again.
Sorry, Ian, that was Mac Delay, shall we call it? Yeah. Let's go around now to go back to the beginning. And take two.
Do over.
Hello, 20 Megabat Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Yeah.
Kill the Moon by Peter Harness. Waters of Mars meets Space Cowboys. I did not enjoy this story because of the silliness throughout.
What?
The cast and filming and location were brilliant. The moon in this is only 100 million years old, and it is an egg. It was laid by the soup dragon from the planet. Everything is fine until Mexican astronauts go looking for minerals. Then its mass increases suddenly by 1.3 billion tons, and that causes high tides on Earth and raises the surface gravity of the moon to the same as Lanzarote. All nonsense. Gloomy Captain Lundvik is too much like gloomy Adelaide Brooke from Waters of Mars.
Well, I was going to say, there was a
scene. Yeah.
Courtney Woods feels she is entitled to be called special and goes wild when the doctor says she is not. Paradoxically, if everyone is special, then being special is nothing out of the ordinary.
Here comes the specials music.
Out of the frying pan, into the fire. The hard-boiled astronauts arrive on the moon with a scrambler. The shuttle falls into a crevasse, but that does no damage. Nonsense. Eight-legged web-spinning germs. Nonsense.
Yeah, I agree.
The three astronauts and mission control are British. A British woman becomes president of the USA. How is that possible?
Change of constitution.
Perhaps America becomes part of the British Empire again. I suppose that is nonsense also. Why does Henry investigate the cave with the spiders in it? In space, no one can heave a scuttle about.
That's true.
The actors had chilled water circulating in pipes under their spacesuits. That was cool. The Doctor thinks the soup dragon is unique. Perhaps the mysterious dark matter in the universe is countless billions of soup dragons. We have the ever-popular lights in the space helmets, so you can see the actors' faces.
I was going to refer to that, but as it's common...
Should the soup dragon be killed to save the Earth? Captain Lundvik says yes. The people of Earth say yes. That is, the people on the night side, where the cloud is not too thick, because the others don't get a vote. But Clara says no, and the companion is the most important person in the universe on Doctor Who these days, so only her opinion counts.
Right.
One woman, one vote. The huge tides will not bother the sand dunes, where our heroes watch the newborn soup dragon mate a replacement moon egg.
I said it's the Isle of Wight.
The dead astronauts do not go to the promised land. It seems a bit random.
Yeah.
This story was submitted in the Matt Smith era. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, somebody
they resurrected it for Peter Capaldi.
Was
he?
Yeah.
Oh, well
they should have given it to Wallace and Gromit.
Say it's only a paper moon sailing over a cardboard sea, but it wouldn't be make-believe if
sounds great.
Weather's
in.
Do
you
realise you've got to go back out of that?
Wow.
Bye for now.
Master?
Thank you, Ian. Master. Yes, Kirby.
Ian said the shuttle falls into a crevasse, or however he pronounced it, that does no damage. We don't know that. First of all, you saw that the wing was damaged, and it fell through, and the doctor wasn't worried because Courtney was inside the TARDIS, and then he brings the TARDIS, or has her bring the TARDIS with the DVD back there.
Andy.
The TARDIS, we've seen the TARDIS survive things like that many, many times. Yeah. So I would say that it did have damage, although one thing you do have to think about is that the bombs were primed and were still ready to explode. So
anyway,
the bombs were on the space station. They weren't on the shuttle.
No, they were on the shuttle.
He hadn't got them.
Yeah, anyway. He did miss out on...
I think so.
I thought they brought the bombs onto the space station.
No, they left them on the shuttle, and they primed them on the shuttle.
But the shuttle fell down
and you could clearly see, as they were walking around, that the little arming device that Lundvik had said that the bombs were within range, radio range, to be set off.
Yeah, and it was in the perfect place.
So they were the bombs. There's no point in. They didn't expect to come back, so they just left them on the shuttle.
Okay. Ian did miss out an opportunity for one of his little sort of musical puns. Why is that so quiet? Oh, because I've turned the volume down. Where's the volume button? Is that it? Sorry.
Popping away.
Okay, I just had to Google soup dragon to figure out what the...
it was.
That was the specials. As in, you missed
I'm going to put a picture up on Facebook.
What, of the specials?
Oh, I can do that.
Well, good afternoon, 20 Megabyte. It's Andy Linnear here. It's 18 minutes past 1 in the afternoon. I've actually got a very small glass of... Chardonnay, because we're going out a bit with a writer.
This is
a quick one.
Feedback from earlier episodes.
Yeah, now I watched Kill the Moon last night after the PCGs in Worcester. Now, I must admit, I really am not sure how to take this. I've only watched it once, but so this is the initial reaction. I did find it, in a way, difficult to follow. Not really sure I enjoyed it. There were some interesting points in it. Some lovely lines from Clara, I mean, especially the one about, you know, if you don't sort it out, I'll slap you so hard you'll regenerate, and things like that. Firstly, you've got Courtney's there for just no reason at all. Courtney's there with them. Why is that? You know, any reason why she should be? And then she gets dumped back in the TARDIS, and is quite happily back in the TARDIS, so you can play in games on her phone and putting stuff on Tumblr. And I think any 15-year-old would be, good God, you know, what's going on here? Or having some sort of fit refusing to play along. So that didn't make any sense at all as well. We had the crew that were very quickly killed, apart from Hermione Norris. There's the engineer guy who was killed by the spiders, and that was it. Then they had the one who went wandering off and got killed by the spiders. We had some very silly bits, like when they're trying to escape and the window gets shot out, and, oh, this sheet of metal just happens to fly out and just the right size to block out the window and stop all the air escaping. Yeah, right. Sorry, that just stank as far as I'm concerned. Now, trying to work out what was going on, you know, sort of, they got the gravity. You can see he's trying to test out the gravity, what's going on there, which I didn't pick up at first, but understood it. I thought, now, that was quite a good point. I think the Hermit was quite cleverly done, that was. And then comments about, you know, what's going to happen on Earth, because, yes, with the moon having done it, you'll have high tides, you're going to get a global disaster everywhere. Well, global would be everywhere, wouldn't it? But, and I thought then that's clever, because that's using a real event that something could happen, and, you know, something that we can relate to. You can understand, you know, really how the moon works, how it does operate to affect tides. So that did work for me as well. But there was no explanation about how long it's been going on for, at least if there was, I missed it. Had it been going on for years? It just suddenly happened overnight, whatever. One of the... where did this extra mass come from? Because you can't create something from nothing as well. So why did this mass just suddenly appear? So we actually found out, you know, firstly, they were going to blow it with nuclear bombs. Well, that's not really good thinking, is it? If you blow up the moon, you're going to screw up tides completely. So, you know, have they actually thought that one through? You know, was this really...
they were already screwed up.
We've got to do something to really destroy, you know, so we're military thinking. I like the idea of the second-hand spaceship. You know, probably dug out in a museum somewhere, and this is the last one, the last chance of doing this. But, no, that didn't seem to make sense. It seemed to be just a knee-jerk reaction that I don't think the scriptwriter really thought, you know, what the alternative would be, what the consequence would be. So that bit didn't really work for me. Now, when you found out what it was, it's some sort of giant egg and something's being hatched, then, so you had the doctor's bunked off. Now, has he gone off because he's confident that people are going to make the right decision? Well, as it was, you know, the population of the world said... stuff that, you know, we want to survive, don't we? Which I think is the reaction everyone expected. You know, it didn't surprise me at all, just watching the lights going off, Clive and Clara is disappointed. Hermione Norris, can't remember the character's name now, did we ever find it? Was quite sanguine about it, was going to do it. And then Clara stopped her just as the Doctor returns. Now, were the two coincidence? Did the Doctor, was he watching what's going on? Yeah, this story just didn't flow for me. It just didn't work. I think there's too many gaps in it here. And then at the end, when this thing's born, and... oh, look, it's laid an egg, so there's another moon. So, hang on, when did this first... the moon's been there, for 4 billion years or something like that? So does that mean it's a 4 billion-year gestation? So
clearly,
it's going to happen again, or is it happen more quickly? Things for me just didn't stack up. I didn't really enjoy it, I'll be quite honest. I know some people, Jeff Waddell...
Really?
Waddell, beg your pardon, sorry, Jeff. Took my forelock. I know he gave it a 10, but I've seen Martin Havel has said that's the end of him for Doctor Who. Well, I wouldn't quite go that far, but I think this is the poorest one we've had so far. There were some good character bits to say. The Doctor was, when he's doing his usual, I'm taking over, and he's bouncing around, he's got a yo-yo out. And, yeah, that's a shiny yo-yo. So Leela, wasn't it? I think last time we saw a yo-yo. But that actually made sense. You could see why, because they say he needs gravity. I'm not doing a yo-yo action, which of course doesn't work on audio. So, you do need, you know, that to me did work. But the rest of it, I'm sorry, didn't enjoy it, I'm sorry. Can do better, must do better. I'd be interested to see what other people do think of it. And also, I will try and rewatch it sometime this week and perhaps make it understand it more. I mean, so there you go. Anyway, hopefully this will be the right bit of feedback. You see, that's the problem. See, last time I did it, I had no alcohol, so I've only had two sips of wine, but I will label it and make sure it's the right one. I'm working on the same machine, so hopefully it will work. Anyway, be seeing you.
Yes, thank you, Andy. And now Deb's going to strip that right down to the bare bones. Go on then, Deb.
What?
That bit of feedback.
Why?
We were sort of shaking your head all the way through
That's because he's wrong. Wrong.
I think the dodgy science is what's keeping a lot of people from enjoying it.
Yeah, that's the problem. You can't pick apart a Doctor Who. I mean, if you want to do that, try and do that to some of the first episodes.
You know what we used to say on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast?
Live and let live?
It's science fiction fantasy TV show.
Yay!
Use the fantasy bit and science fiction bit, and it go past, helps you get past a lot of these things. Just enjoy the story. Yes, Kirby.
When I'm bothered, by, I'm sure someone can go back and dig out where I did get picky about science in a way I shouldn't have. But mostly I'm bothered by the science errors when they make no sense for the plot. Like in Curse of the Bad Plot, when the mirrors were all broken, making more mirrors. Mm-hmm. And that they didn't, thus having more ways for the siren to get to them. That was stupid. And it was part of the plot. And they didn't think about the fact
that... Yeah, but now you're saying it's part of the plot, which implies there was one. I don't remember there being a plot in the Curse of the Black Spot.
No, no.
Right. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, though.
Yes.
See that's different from just having a big blue box that's bigger on the inside and travels through time and space is just as implausible as having the moon be an egg.
Yeah.
So, what's the problem, people?
It does surprise me that all of us, and we often disagree on the stories, but all of us liked it, and that's very rare.
I expected Mary to not like it.
Why?
Just because you didn't like Listen.
Because Listen was stupid. It was brilliant.
Hang on a minute. Guys, be quiet. Oh, Lord.
Its premise was based on something that was supposed to be universal to us all, and it isn't.
Come here. Sorry, are you guys still there?
I'm here. I'm still here. Adam just answered the door, as you could probably tell by the dogs.
Something's coming through the post.
Hello, puppies, come on.
I've been trying to look up.
Yeah, you're here.
Hello,
we're here.
Why is he going? Hello, okay.
I've been trying to look up a translation for Lundvik because there's a lot of theories going on that most of the surnames mean things regarding Missy's mysterious afterlife. You know, nether something or other.
What is that noise?
Me opening up a package.
Are we unwrapping Christmas presents or something?
I'm unlocking a package.
It looks like a Halloween costume.
Oh, it is a Halloween costume. It's dead ordering stuff off my Amazon account. Right, let's put it over there then. Right. Not you, by the way, the other one.
Yeah, not me, Alphadeb.
Sorry, where did we get up to before the doorbell rang? We're talking about...
We carried on, didn't we?
I've lost where I was.
Well,
oh, yes.
Kirby dropped his microphone.
And then you dropped your iPad.
I dropped my iPad again.
Again?
This is a droppy episode here.
There was a reference on... that Andy came up with about somebody making a comment. This is Jeffrey Williams on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook Facebook group that which you can join. Just watched Kill the Moon for the first time and probably the last. I don't want to give out any spoilers, so I will just give it my score. 4 magic barks out of... he did about 10. Yeah. 4 magic barks out of 10. Way too many plot holes that took me out of the story. I actually like Robot of Sherwood better than this one. Yeah, go on, Kirby.
No. Wait, I said it. There's no plot holes.
Okay. There isn't, actually. The science thing
is not a plot hole.
The funny thing about me with this story is when I watched it first time quite late at night, obviously I've been working all day, so I was watching it and catching up on stuff on the iPad, so I wasn't engaged fully in it, yet I was able to follow the story. Sometimes on stories that haven't got much of a plot, you can lose, if you're not concentrating, you can lose track. Yeah. So I watched it again last night when I got home from work, because Deb and Isabella hadn't watched it. So again, I watched it. This morning I've watched it again to do those questions for the forthcoming episode of You Won't Get This One. And this is the fourth time I've watched it without the sound. So I didn't pick up anything extra. No. So I thought it was quite an easy story to follow.
I've only watched it once because we had my father-in-law over from Canada, so I didn't get to watch it when it first aired. I watched it last night quite late on iPlayer.
Yeah.
And I was tired, but I was really engrossed in it. So,
but if you haven't really, I think with any Doctor Who, if you haven't really picked it up first time, watch it again, because you generally do on the second view. And I think you certainly would on this one, pick up on the second view. Dinos Daniel, from Sydney, Australia, says, I enjoyed Clara and Danny getting up this dislikable doctor with the scant regard for people's well-being. To me, it has only been the 11th doctor's plea phone call to help him that has kept them together so far. Mm. I can fully understand why Clara told him to get nicked.
Get nicked.
What else have we got? Don't we have anything else on that one?
Master, I have to step away for just a minute. Maybe 3 minutes,
now?
So don't start the quiz.
He's going now?
He's stepping away. He needs the bathroom.
Oh, good, we can talk about him for a bit.
That's what he's going
for. Right, also, this is an interesting, Dean asked Daniel, it says, comparing first episodes of New Who's Doctors. Right, the first series, Rose, 9th, The Christmas Invasion, 10th, 11th Hour, the 11th, Deep Breath, the 12th, Winner, the 11th Hour. Second stories, End of the World for the 9th, New Earth for the 10th, Beast Below for the 11th, and Into the Dalek for the 12th, Winner, Into the Dalek.
Mm.
Third stories, Unquiet Dead for the 9th, Tooth and Claw for the 10th, Victory of the Daleks for the 11th, and Robots,
Robot
of Robot Sherwood,
of Sherwood.
For the 13th. Mm-hmm. For the 13th?
That's counting the War Doctor,
yeah,
as
exactly.
The 12th.
Yes,
and the winner of that was Victory of the Daleks. Fourth stories, Aliens of London for the 9th, School Reunion for the 10th, Time of Angels for the 11th, and Listen for the 12th. Where's the 13th gone? And the winner was School Reunion.
Yeah, I was going to say it's School Reunion. Listen is great, but School Reunion, especially the face-off, is amazing.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's Sarah Jane's in it.
Yes.
Fifth stories, World War III for the 9th, Girl in the Fireplace for the 10th, Flesh and Stone for the 11th, and Time Heist for the 12th. The winner was Flesh and Stone.
Yeah.
Sixth stories, 9th. Doctor was Dalek, then Rise of the Cybermen for the 10th, Vampires of Venice for the 11th, and Caretaker for the 12th. The winner was Dalek. And that's it. This is in response to a lot of fans, not just Jeff, raving high about the standards of Series 8. My voting seems to indicate to me that it is still not as good as Series 5, but Matt is my Doctor, so I am biased. Yes, thanks. That was really good. So that's the sort of stuff we want on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group, which you can join. I really do need to change the name of it with the bracket thing. I'll try that at some point when I get some time. That's about it, really. Nothing really in relation to, the feedback on the most recent episode.
They seem very focused this season on doing little throwback references,
yes.
I guess, for the longtime fans. I mean, what in this one, we had the yo-yo, we had Kill Hitler,
mm-hmm.
we had Blinovich, and it's
yes.
like, are they doing all this on purpose to just make, the longtime fans go, yes, okay, yeah.
And then when people who've just come to Doctor Who hear the longtime fans going, oh, brilliant, yes, then they go, hang on, what am I missing?
Right.
Yeah. So hopefully,
what was that about?
Yeah, hopefully it'll, because people keep saying to me, oh, I love the Fourth Doctor, and I'm just putting my head in my hands going, oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you do know who he is, really, don't you?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What do you mean?
It's a good point, though, looking at, comparing all the previous series like that, because obviously where these are all fresh episodes, and I think we're rather being surprised by how good they are, because I feel in the last two or three series I've been rather let down by the standard of stories, where this year it's been fairly consistently good.
Yes.
Oh, no. See, I would disagree with you. I think they've all been pretty bad except for the last two. I think the stories have been very thin, and focused entirely too much on the companion.
Yeah. I must be easily pleased. All right. Debbie's pointed out, have we had new members of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group which you can join? Well, the answer is yes. So I've got to try and work out who they are. So I'm thinking if I can remember to put my teeth in and start speaking properly. Right, so what are you looking at? Oh, you're still looking at stuff. What are you looking at?
I'm looking at a crossover of my husband's favourite ever sci-fi programme, which is Serenity, Firefly, and lifting combo of it with the TARDIS. So I'm thinking that might be a good present. Sorry, I segued.
Okay. Well, I'm pretty sure that the Bethany Davis was the last person I welcomed into the group. So we're going to pick
up
from there.
Didn't Ian Kirk list who the last ones were his feedback?
Probably did. I'm pretty sure Lacey Frith. We talked about the Friths, didn't we, last week? Then it was Bethany Davis. So now I'm going to pick it up from Anthony Anderson, Thomas Lee James Cave, Teresa Hudgins. How do you say that? Hudgins?
Hudgens.
Hello. Cindy Siniglia. How do you say that?
Cindy Siniglia.
And Ryan Prince Darkseeker, who I added about 5 seconds ago.
Great name.
Thank you all for joining the group, and I'm quite pleased.
Let me finish my sentence.
Thank you for joining the group, and I'm quite pleased in some ways that people with difficult to pronounce names are deliberately joining the group just to sort of make me stumble over my words as per usual. Yes, Kirby, what did you miss? You didn't miss anything apart from we had the strippers in, didn't we?
They were darling. Well, we couldn't
see them anyway.
It looks to me as in the past couple of weeks we've had quite a number of people who heard of us through AWA.
AWA? What's AWA?
Anime Week in Atlanta.
Oh, excellent. Well, not
where
complaining.
I went a week ago.
I'm not complaining because it now means we have 396 members.
Oh.
Yes? What do you mean, oh?
Did we mention the new convention, which is... going to be happening in Clarksville, Tennessee.
No,
this
we didn't
March.
Mention the new convention. Tennessee, blah, 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 March.
What is it? What's it called?
It's called ConGT.
Okay.
And it's being run by our a friend of the show on Facebook, Eddie.
Okay.
Eddie Owen. And it's... Yeah. Let me get the information up here and we can discuss it.
I'm definitely in Canada next August, so I'm looking around for any local cons in the vicinity of Halifax.
I don't think there'll be any.
There's no local cons to where I live either.
No.
It's Clarksville, Tennessee, which is outside of Nashville.
Yeah.
Going towards Kentucky.
You Southerners must lack in things to do that you have to keep coming up with all these cons to go to.
Yes.
Oh, look.
Waiting
Super Dragon
for
reference.
You be. Oh, excellent.
Oh, it's not working.
Have you broken my clanger?
I didn't break your clanger.
That clanger was perfectly all right.
It dropped a clanger.
Oh, hang on. That's got to be worth one. We are on a delay. What have you done to my computer?
Nothing.
6 years later, we'll get the... I just dropped a clanger. Yes, there you go. For God's sake, that's going to make the quiz very awkward. Right, okay. Are we ready? Can we go now? Yes?
Okay, well, the convention is March 13th to 15th. And guest of honor will be Gareth David Lloyd and Dan Starkey.
Gareth David Lloyd does like to go to these American conventions.
Yes, he does.
That's the excuse to get over to America.
And so does Dan Starkey. He seems to be at a lot of cons.
Well,
I've
been to cons where Gareth David Lloyd has been, but I've not been to one where Dan Starkey has been. So I'm looking forward to meeting him, and I will get some interviews if possible.
That
I
would
possibly
be good.
Yes.
Oh,
it'll be a first if actually got around to doing that, Kirby. But yes,
no, he's too busy having fun.
Yeah. All right, it's now time.
Well,
this week.
What would be nice is if we could do a. And record on Sunday like we did for Con Cerberus.
That would be an idea.
Well, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah,
never
and do
know,
some
happen.
Actual questions and things. Yeah, okay.
Yes, you can.
I will,
Kirby.
Yeah.
Yes. Right, it's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Stop Interrupting. Who won't get this one? God's sake. No, you made me play the wrong... That was your fault, Kirby. You get another point deducted.
No, don't you dare. Me and Kirby have already lost minus one.
There you
go.
How did I lose one?
We're swearing.
I'm not going to say what we said because I'll lose another point, but we both said a word that Adam can't bleep out because this is alive, so we both lost a point. So Mary currently is in the lead.
All he has to do is edit.
I don't want to edit. That's why it's a live show.
Please stop bickering over your thing.
So I'm the current winner so far.
You are, yes. Hey, Mary!
Right, first question goes to Debbie.
Oh, no.
These are easy. After we've been talking about these, are quite easy. Right then, so What? That's a good start.
Okay.
What?
Hang on, I've got to read this because I don't understand what I've written.
What does
the doctor first ask Clara to pass him while shackled? This is obviously, we're going back to the caretaker.
Oh my God, we're on the caretaker.
I did say last week, please listen. Last week there would be...
I wasn't here. Sorry.
That's no excuse. Right. This is a caretaker question.
His pliers.
No, specifically a script and reference. Anybody? Oh, hang on.
No, that was a week ago. Wait,
pliers.
No,
this is the music for the pliers.
I have no notes from there.
No, me neither.
Well, you didn't get that one. Then you should have been listening. The answer was vibro cutters.
Oh, yes.
Right. This is Mary's question.
She's already
winning. Currently in the lead.
Currently in the lead.
With nothing. what will get them before they starve? This is obviously in the desert.
The sand piranhas.
Oh, they were cool. What a great idea.
Right. Right.
They were cool. You saw them. I didn't see them.
No, just the suggestion.
Yeah,
and her
the idea of
them.
Yeah.
Yes, right.
I love the look she gives.
The
Kirby.
Sand. Sorry.
Kirby.
Master.
I wasn't here
what
for
What did the Doctor and River love with? Oh, it's live with. What's the matter with this blooming thing? What did the Doctor and River live with
Otters.
For a month?
Thank you. Put him out
Otters.
Of his
and you.
What's coming on with this computer?
You picked that one. You picked that one for me because that was the word that I didn't.
That's just not
right. Debbie.
By the way, Master. This week, Ian Kirk provided me with. Subtitles.
That's interesting. I'm getting a headache. Right, Debbie.
Although I didn't need them this week.
Sorry. Right. Yes,
Debbie.
Adam. Yes, Adam.
What is the policeman's last words, or was the policeman's last words?
What the?
No. Right, anybody?
Bloody hell.
Another point deducted to Kirby.
No, he could say
back
that. That's alright.
Oh, yeah, bloody's alright.
No, all right. Bloody's alright.
I've got a whole section scribbles out on Kirby's score.
Yes, it's canon now.
He's got one already.
All right,
though.
Okay, right. Right, it's. The answer was.
Put his bum back.
No, we got because he was minus two.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was. I deducted 2 points. Yeah, the answer was, I've lost where I was, stop messing about was his last words. Right then, Mary.
I like mine.
What was the correct year Pride and Prejudice was written? What the hell is going on with this iPad?
What year was Pride and Prejudice written?
Yes, according to the Doctor.
1826.
Oh, it's 1827.
Anybody?
29. No.
It was 1796.
If you had asked me last week, I had the notes
for
that. But I don't have the notes.
Well, I did pre-warn you. There will be some questions.
No, you didn't say what we're going to do.
I said there will be a double whammy quiz incorporating questions from both episodes this week. I just don't listen. Right.
I'm still on minus one. Kirby has got
Kirby,
one point.
No, he hasn't. Kirby, this is your question.
Yeah.
Master.
When is the school fate, according to the script?
Spring.
Sunday.
The answer.
2 days' time.
Was 2 weeks Saturday.
Right.
Next question.
Yeah, we were so busy celebrating last week that there wasn't a quiz. We just didn't listen.
I've dropped my pen now. I've dropped a vital piece of equipment.
Master, I've got to let the cat in. I'll be right back.
It was not your question anyway. Right. Oh no, we'll do the scores whilst he's getting the cat in. In last place with minus one. Debbie. In second place with nothing is Kirby. And
I walked over the door and the door opened on its own. It was Fred opening the door for the cat.
That's good then. Here's Mary with 2 points. Right then, whose question is this? We're on question number 7. Right, which is Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
What information did the Doctor find hard to retain?
I know.
I can't remember.
Go on then, Kirby.
That Danny was a maths teacher.
Is the correct answer as he moves into the pluses. Right then. Mary.
Yes.
What graffiti did the Doctor wipe off the window?
Oh,
I don't remember.
Okay, but Debbie was laughing, so it implies she knows.
Is it Ozzy Hart's The Squaddy or something like that?
Yes.
I got a point! I'm on zero!
Right.
Climbing out of the hole.
No, yeah. Finally out of that.
So this is Kirby's question.
Master.
What sign did the Doctor attach to the caretaker's room door?
Humans keep out, something like that. Humans go away.
That'll
that's
do.
It, yeah.
That's the one I was looking for. It's nearly right. Actually, the answer was...
Go away, humans.
Humans, yeah, yeah. Go away, humans. But yeah, you're on the right lines. I'd be very harsh of me not to give you anything for that one. Right, Debbie.
Yep.
What does the doctor say there is only enough room in Danny's mind for?
Soldiering?
No. Anybody?
Nope.
Right. Now the answer is cross country and the offside rule.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Mary.
Yes.
What is the name of the teacher that looks like the 11th Doctor?
Oh,
I don't remember.
I know.
Oh, I think Debbie said she's just coming out with the
word. I'm not sure I know his surname, but I think it's called Patrick.
Here's the wrong answer. Go on, Kirby.
No, it's Adrian.
Adrian,
here's the
yeah,
correct answer. Good point for Kirby. Right. Next question goes to Kirby.
Master.
Who was at the front of the queue of parents? Who was at the front of the queue of parents? Who's, which kids?
Courtney's parents.
Oh, God.
The woods.
Yeah.
Yes, the woods. I'll do nicely. Right then.
Who will eventually have their daughter become president.
Yeah, all right. So the current scores after those questions. In last place with nothing is Debbie. In second place with 2 it's Mary. And in the lead with 6 points, it's Kirby. Right, this is Debbie's question.
I thought I was being penalised. Should I say bloody again?
No, bloody is not the one.
Oh, shut up.
I'm not going to say it because I'm on 0.
Kirby.
Yes.
What had Courtney improved from according to her parents?
Last year.
Pardon?
Last year she was
yeah,
mostly disruptive or something. Or
I'll give you a point for being sort of on the right lines. Yeah. Anybody for the correct answer to get the other point and stop purring?
That would be Midnight. Yeah. He's the one who was left out of the room.
Okay, so. So the answer was a very destructive influence.
Oh,
so
yes,
last year
yeah,
she was
yeah,
a destructive influence. Very,
very
so last year she was
yeah,
a very destructive.
Yeah.
Now she's just destructive.
Yeah.
So she's improved. That's basically what the answer
is. It's just an improvement, yes.
Mary!
Yes.
Right, we're moving on to Kill the Moon
are
now.
Are we keeping you awake?
She just had bacon
not
and
an
egg.
Option.
She's now
Mary,
ready to sleep it off.
What year was Kill the Moon set in?
I know.
Oh, 2049.
Here's the correct answer. Kirby.
Master.
Who wrote Kill the Moon?
What was the guy's name? I mentioned his name a while back. It was Peter Harness.
Yeah.
That's right.
Eventually,
or Harness.
After checking his notes. Got it
no, I did not check my notes. I was remembering.
All right, then. Debbie.
Yes.
What did Courtney use the psychic paper for?
To buy cider. Or to buy alcohol.
Fake
ID.
That's what I meant.
Master?
Yeah, she used it to fake ID not to get into museums.
What are Alco Pops?
They're alcoholic drinks that taste like...
Fizzy pop.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, lemonade flavoured and orange flavoured and weird, weird and wonderful colours.
Oh, back in my youth, we had Boone's Farm.
We had WKD.
All right, so whose question was that one, that last one?
That was mine.
Okay, so the next one is Mary's.
Okay.
What did the doctor think were vortex manipulators?
I wrote down vortex manipulators, but I didn't write down what they were. I forget. Pass it on.
Debbie?
Then anti-travel sickness pills. Yeah,
fans. Yes,
travel,
I know what you're
which,
through,
by
yeah,
the way, are do not work.
No, they don't.
They don't, no.
No.
The most important thing that you get from
daughter,
a pharmacy.
Yes.
Try
these bands, they're brilliant.
Kirby.
Master.
What was wrong with the doctor's yo-yo, according to the script?
Yeah.
It was, nothing was wrong with the yo-yo, but it was showing that the gravity was wrong.
Not quite what I was looking for in Courtney. Go on, Debbie.
It goes up and down.
Here's the correct answer.
What's wrong with my yo-yo? What's wrong with it? Going
it's
up and
still...
down.
Wait, master?
Did I not add the words according to the script to that question? Yes, Kirby.
Well, even with normal moon gravity, it would go up and down.
Is that
just going down
to the script, though?
I managed to get your point back, some of it.
Right, where are we now?
Midnight. Sick.
Right, so whose go is it?
Paris to death.
Whose go was that? That was Kirby's.
That was Kirby's.
Right, so this is therefore Debbie's go. When I've regained the will to live. So we'll do a score recap. In last place, with 4 points, is Mary. In second place, with 5 points, is Debbie. And in the lead, with 8 points, it's Kirby. So this is now Debbie's question.
Okay.
Right. What nation did the mining survey on the moon?
We all know that one.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
Debbie's struggling. So
Debbie is struggling. Mexico.
Oh, well done. Not struggling for that long, then.
I was going to say something else, okay. But Mary, I realised it wasn't that.
Which they proved by having a nice big Mexican flag on the wall.
Yeah. Mary got an easy one. What did the humans taste like, according to the doctor?
Oh, chicken.
Thank you.
All the hardies are going to be until it's too late. Yeah. Right, Kirby.
Master.
What age did the doctor think Courtney was?
35.
There's the correct answer. Right. Debbie, yeah. How much weight has the moon put on? This is mentioned several times in the story.
Oh, I know. I think I know.
Good, because I don't.
It's the wrong answer.
Yay, I haven't got that written Mary. Down.
It's a 1.3 billion tons.
Is the correct answer.
No, oh, I haven't got that written
by
down.
By the way, I could that. Hear... Mary, I could hear that you put two ins in the word tons. That was perfect.
Be quiet. Tons. Right then. Mary. Mary.
Yes. Why was that perfect?
Oh, just take no notice.
No, they the British spell tons.
Correct.
T-O-N-N-E.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Tons.
Mary.
Do I get an extra point for that?
No. Mary.
Yeah.
What did Clara's nan say was the best disinfectant you can get?
Oh, yeah.
Did they name the stuff?
Yes, they did.
Yes, and Debbie knows.
Don't know.
So we'll press that. And Debbie
sunlight.
Is the correct answer.
Oh, sunlight. Oh. Yes. Oh, okay. Yes.
It's very Volkswagen tale, isn't it? Yeah.
Master.
Where was Courtney posting photographs?
Tumblr.
Is the correct answer.
From the moon.
Yeah, from the moon.
Interesting technology, yeah.
TARDIS technology.
I liked Lundvik's comment that my granny used to post things.
Yeah.
On
Tumblr. Yeah. That was one of my quotes.
Right. Debbie.
Yes.
What did the school secretary think that Clara gave her in secret
Santa? We all know the answer to this
one. Dinner ladies. You just don't know when you're setting the questions what we're going to fixate on.
Exactly. Yes. Right. Hang on. One of my questions has gone funny, so I've just got to hit a return button. There we go. Right.
Fast return button?
Be quiet. Right, Mary.
Oh, yeah. Need a magic marker.
Hang on. That was Mary's question, wasn't it?
Yes.
So therefore, I forgot to do that. Kirby.
Master.
Wait, you skipped me.
Did I? I thought that was... Whose question was that?
That was
Mary's question. No, that was Ed's question.
No, it wasn't. I answered it.
The tenor lady was...
Oh, that was my question, yeah.
I just didn't give you any points for it.
All right, don't worry.
All right, Mary. Yes. Right then. What year did they go to dinner in Berlin?
Oh, 1937?
Yeah.
Yes?
No.
1935.
Oh.
1939.
Oh. That's exhausted all the available opportunities.
I wrote
1936.
I wrote down 1937.
Yeah, 1936.
Yeah, and I wrote down 1937.
I didn't write it down.
Well, I wrote down 1936.
Yeah, well, I wrote down
1936. Unless I press the wrong button next to them.
Because they didn't object to kill Hitler
after. I'll give you a point each. You might be right.
We both got a point for objecting.
I can't
the point. If I go back, though, and rewatch that and they say 1936,
you
get 5 points deducted
the
next week.
Point.
No! Don't deduct 5 points next week.
I'm going to have to check that one. Well, that's just for the not getting it right.
I can get the subtitles.
Never mind. Right, whose go was that? Was that Mary's go?
Yes.
Right, Kirby. Kirby!
Master.
Right. Are you ready?
Yes.
Right. When Courtney says she has a physics book with a section on gravity, what does the miserable astronaut person say?
You mean Lundvik?
Oh, 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 yes.
Yeah, go on, Kirby. What's the answer?
Something about... I don't remember. I'm sorry.
You nearly had it. Go on then, Debbie, because you're looking like you know the answer.
No, I don't.
Go on then, Mary.
Notes. No, none of them.
Oh, you didn't get that one? Hey! Yeah. Right, so the answer was super. Is there a word search?
Yes, that was it, yeah. No,
ready
I haven't
for me.
Got that written down, no.
Right then. So, is it now Debbie's go?
Yes.
So therefore, we'll do a score count. In last place, with 8 points, Mary. In second place, with 12 points, Kirby. In first place, with 13 points, Debbie.
Come from minus one.
Neck and neck here.
Whose go it is right now? Right then. According to the explosive monitor, how many devices were in range?
I can't remember. I think it was three.
No. Anybody?
Haven't got it written down.
100.
Whoa,
Kirby. Well,
correct
I don't
answer.
Remember
right then. Mary.
Shut up, Magic.
Yes.
What?
Wait, I'm not after... Oh, that was Debbie's question. Yeah. Okay.
What did Courtney say when the last lights on Earth went out?
I don't remember.
Oh, dear. Anybody?
No, because I don't have the subtitles.
One for me!
Must not have been remarkable.
Night, night, is what she said. All right, Kirby.
99.
What number did Clara stop the bomb at?
2 seconds.
Is the correct answer for 2 points. Right, Debbie.
Yep.
How far away is NASA from the beach?
20,000 miles.
Is...
The wrong answer.
Correct. Mary?
2,500.
Is correct.
20,000.
Which, yeah, I don't know if you saw my posting on Facebook, but I just wonder, how is that captain going to explain that she's back on Earth?
Exactly.
Right, Mary.
The last one the doctor brought back killed herself, so.
Mary.
What?
Right.
Yes.
What lesson has Courtney got to go to at the end of the story?
Geography.
Is the
double
correct
geography.
Whoops,
she had double geography as well.
What does that mean, what's double geography?
Help. Two periods of geography in a
pen.
Row.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Did it
land in my sweet?
No, I don't know where it is.
That pen.
There's one here, look.
It's broken, you see, and it's so difficult to grip.
That one?
Off,
no, this is
like, hang on, who got those points? I've lost where I was now.
Mary.
Mary, did we do that?
That was Mary's question, Mary's answer.
Right then. Right, so that's therefore Kirby's question next.
Master.
I've got to go and get
when
Isla
Courtney into. Becomes president of the United States of America.
Blinovich.
There you go. We were
right,
waiting
there's not
to
very many
that.
Questions left now. There's two questions left, so they're free for all. Right, so the first question of the free for all section is, what sign was on the door as the TARDIS departed?
Which door?
The door in which the TARDIS departed in the school.
Something closet, supply closet, and no, I'm not looking at it.
You can tell you're not looking at it because it was wrong.
Okay.
Anybody? Mm. No.
I can look at it.
The answer was store cupboard.
I was going for store room, but no.
Right, last question then. This is the last free-for-all question. What subject was Clara's class studying?
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear indeed.
Subject? Wasn't she an English teacher?
Yeah, so what subject was she?
There must have been something on the board.
Literature.
That he's referring to.
There's a subject within the English literature that, yes, on the board. Yes, so what were
classics.
They discussing? Here's the wrong answer. The answer was Charles Dickens, specifically
yeah, I just saw
David
that.
Copperfield. So the final scores in this week's edition of You Won't Get This One are... Oh, no, you've got funny. In last place... With 11 points, is Mary. In second place, with 13 points, is Debbie.
Yay!
And the winner this week with 17 points, despite having 2 points deducted at the beginning of the proceedings, and should have had more, is Kirby.
Yay!
Yay!
Hooray! And there was great rejoicing.
Oh, that's playing the beginning of the thing when it should be playing the end of it, which is around here, to make it... that slick. That slick.
Quiet we all were for that.
Yeah, really.
The respect for the tune. Or fear of Adam shouting at us.
Yeah, I think we should do some news. Whether there is some or not, we'll find out. Oh. What's it doing?
Ooh, wait.
And then my computer came up with a message saying visit page. Of course I want to visit the page. I wouldn't have typed in the URL if I didn't want to misvisit it, would I? Right. I'm just waiting for the page to load up. Stop snoring, Magic. It's not that bad. Right, so, how far do we go back?
I don't know.
Don't you? Okay. So what we looked up on the internet, although I looked up, was the... because I was thinking of what to do during the half-term holidays. Because Doctor Who Experience opens up on the first Saturday of the... or reopens on the first Saturday of the...
I wish I could go.
I just have to step away for a moment. I've had a call from...
Romana. Oh, okay. Romana is going to be part of it.
Is she?
Fantastic.
What, of the, yes. The relaunch or the whole thing?
She's part of the storyline movie.
All right.
With the 12th Doctor.
Oh, excellent.
And if you... She's the one also... narrating that little YouTube video.
Oh, yes. Okay. That sounds really good.
Second Romana.
But I did suggest it, because it's often when doing these things, you have to suggest things to Deb. And, of course, most of the time, she poo-poos it. And exactly what she did. She poo-pooed it. She said that she's working all week, and therefore there's no chance of going to Cardiff. I suggested this, me and Isabella go, because I took Alicia to the London one. Isabella missed out, and that sort of fell on deaf ears. So it doesn't look like I'm going to be going to the...
Just ignore her and go anyway.
Anyway, right, so... last thing we reported on was the passing of Maggie Stables. So we're going to move on to... apparently Retro TV are going to air The Mind of Evil in colour. What is Retro TV? Is that a British film? I've never heard of it.
No. It's something also in the South. When we were down at Concasterboros, remember, Kirby, Retro TV was there?
Yes.
They were going to be showing a lot of classic Doctor Who episodes.
Oh, okay.
Am I...
Yeah.
Starting your memory?
I believe that it's a broadcast... HD broadcast. It's not on cable, I think. I don't know.
Okay, moving on. The brand new Doctor Who comic, Doctor Who the 12th Doctor, number 1, is to be released to comic stores on October the 15th, but will be exclusively previewed at New York Comic Con, which takes place on the 9th to the 12th of October. And there's quite a lot of information about the Comic Con itself, if you happen to be in New York. I'm not going to read it all out, but it does sound rather good. Rather exciting if you're lucky enough to be able to attend that particular event. Mummy on the Orient Express, which is apparently the title of the next episode. BBC have confirmed the 8th episode of the current run of Doctor Who, Mummy on the Orient Express, will be broadcast in the UK on the 11th of October at the slightly later time of 8:35 p.m. It's getting later and later. Be past watershed soon. There'll be all sorts of nasty words being spoken on it soon if it gets any later in the evening. Time Heist chart placing. Time Heist has now been confirmed as being 14th most watched programme on British television for the week ending the 21st of September 2014.
I'm back. Episode, is that Time Heist?
Yes. The episode, which just slipped below 7 million mark with 6.99 million viewers, was the fifth most watched programme on BBC television, where The Great British Bake Off took top place with 10.28 million
viewers. Of course
it
did. Bake Off's amazing.
Bake Off is Sue.
Adam, yeah. I'm going to have to sign off because I still have to pack a lunch and leave for work. I'm sorry.
I'm going to go in a minute. I've got to go and get Isla before I get charged for another hour. Oh, yeah.
You've just yanked my cable.
Sorry. Oh dear.
Yeah, don't bother yeah. that much.
So is it Monday again next week?
It is at the moment. Oh, stop yanking me cable.
Yeah, Monday's fine.
You're working Monday.
I'm working, but I can
Tuesday,
add some
feedback.
No, I can pop some feedback in if it's easier. Everybody does Monday.
Could be Tuesday. Deb's not available.
Okay, well, just let us know.
Tuesday's fine.
Okay, we'll pencil in Tuesday then. Right then, so.
Tuesday, okay.
Yes,
all right.
Bye for now. Right then. BBC Worldwide has announced that the Doctor Experience will reopen on 24th, as I was alluding to. And there's a little video, like you said, Kirby, which I'm not going to play. About the last days of Gallifrey, isn't it? Who stars Paddington Bear's statues to appear in London? 12th Doctor Peter Capaldi is one of several Doctor Who stars whose designs for Paddington Bear statues are due to feature in a new London trail.
Oh, is this like they've done some towns in the south have had those cows, haven't they? Weird looking cows.
Oh, I don't know. A poster for Kilmoon for Radio Times was quite cool. Filming concludes on series 34. Filming has
the final shots of the 2014 Christmas episode are now in the can.
Well, there you go. And Jenna Coleman's in that one, so obviously she does come back. Doctor Who Extra, Kill the Moon on the Red Button, which I did watch. The first one I've actually watched, so it's quite good. That's about it, really. It's not much news, is there, Debbie?
Sorry, I was out arranging more work.
Oh, dear. I suppose the last thing we can really do is look
at... My last week at the post office is now very chocker with work.
Yeah, she's punishing you.
Not for leaving. You've spelt whom you've written rather than who1.co.uk.
I'm in a hurry. I've got to do some stuff, haven't I, before Deb gets back.
But it's all right.
Yeah, but I've got to do it before Deb gets back, because otherwise she'll think I haven't been doing anything today, which I haven't. Oh, it's like going back to...
It's a good thing she doesn't listen.
What we spoke about last week, the Daleks
Corby
sets. Yeah. These are very inaccurate Daleks for the Remembrance set.
Oh, yeah.
Very inaccurate.
The Teletubby Daleks.
But they're good fun, so I don't really care. And yes, of course,
I'm going to have
like
to go in a minute too, because...
We're nearly done, Kirby.
Okay.
Cufflinks, Diamond logo cufflinks. That would be really good if you're getting married and you're a Doctor Who fan. I think there's a few people who are Doctor Who fans who got married recently. You didn't go
Mary just signed off.
She did. Oh, yeah. she just said goodbye. You weren't listening, were you?
I was making a joke.
My favourite item, which is the TARDIS bookends.
Sorry, I had my phone
available,
too close to the
naughty girl.
Again,
all available at who1.co.uk. You showed me a scarf earlier, one which Lavazzi perhaps should
doing. Hang on.
Is it on Lavazzi?
Yeah, it was Lavazzi. No, was that it? Wasn't on Lavazzi.
Make
that
your
was
mind
scarf.
Up.
I found it on the internet, and it had
on
a really
internet.
Nice ornate picture of the TARDIS.
That's very general, saying on the internet.
Well, yeah, I just
so
put up
things.
TARDIS and it came up.
But if you do go to lavazzi.co.uk, you can get the Series 18 scarf and the Sixth Doctor scarf prior to that, or a version of it. And, of course, a Dalek scarf in a variety of different colours. The Paisley Seventh Doctor scarf and his rather superb pullover, which I still haven't got yet, if anybody wants to donate it to me. So, you're just looking up that scarf now, aren't you? But
no.
Apart from that...
why can't Lavazzi provide us with some of these for us to wear various places?
I don't know, but
I'm not
going to complain, because they're sponsoring us. So, that's essentially it then. Next week we'll be looking at the mummy on the Orient Express. And hopefully...
Are you my mummy?
Are you my mummy?
Hopefully we might even get Ben on the show. You never know, because it's a Tuesday. So until then, thank you for listening, and tatty bye.
Bye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.